One danger in deploying such a potent weapon will be the potential encouragement of those exploring the Null Bond. Care must be taken to avoid placing these subjects in situations of powerful stress, unless you accept the consequences of their potential investiture. From the diagram, Floorboard 27, Paragraph 6.
Like a river suddenly undammed, the four armies flooded out onto the plateaus. Shallan watched from horseback, excited, anxious. Her little part of the convoy included Vatha and her soldiers, along with Mari, her lady's maid. Gaz notably hadn't arrived yet, and Vatha claimed to not know where he was.
Perhaps I should have looked more into the nature of his deaths.
She'd been so busy with other things.
Storms. If he vanishes, how would I feel about that?
She would have to deal with that later. Today, she was part of something extremely important. A story that had begun with Gavilar and Dalinar's first hunting expedition into the unclaimed hills years ago. Now came the final chapter, the mission that would unearth the truth and determine the future of the Shattered Plains, the Parshendi, and, perhaps, Alethkar itself. Shallan kicked her horse forward, eager. The gelding started to walk, placid, despite Shallan's prodding.
Storming animal.
Adolin trotted up beside her on sure blood. The beautiful animal was pure white, not dusty gray, like some horses she'd seen, but actually white. That Adolin should have the larger horse was patently unfair. She was shorter than he was, so she should be on the taller horse.
You purposely gave me a slow one, didn't you?
Sure did.
I'd smack you if I could reach you up there.
You said you don't have a lot of experience riding, so I picked a horse that had a lot of experience being ridden. Trust me, you'll be thankful.
I want to ride on a majestic charge as we begin our expedition.
And you can do so.
Slowly.
Technically, slow speeds can be very majestic.
Technically, a man doesn't need all of his toes. Shall we remove a few of yours and prove it?
As long as you don't hurt my face, I suppose.
Don't be ridiculous. I like your face.
He grinned, the shard plate helm hanging from his saddle so as not to mess up his hair. She waited for him to add a quip to hers, but he didn't. It was all right. She liked Adolin as he was.
He is kind, noble, and genuine. It doesn't matter that he isn't brilliant or whatever else Kaladin is.
She couldn't even define it.
Passionate, with an intense, smoldering resolve. A leashed anger that he uses because he has dominated it. And a certain tempting arrogance. Not the haughty pride of a High Lord. Instead, the secure, stable sense of determination that whispers that no matter who you are or what you do, you cannot hurt him. Cannot change him.
Shallan, Sabario has a carriage.
Shallan completely missed what Adolin had said. She blushed.
What was that?
I said Sabario has a carriage. You might want to travel with him.
Because I'm too delicate for riding? Did you miss that I walked back through the chasms in the middle of a high storm?
No. But walking and riding are different. I mean the soreness...
Soreness? Why would I be sore? Doesn't the horse do all the work?
Adolin looked at her, eyes widening.
Dumb question.
You said you've ridden before.
Ponies. On my father's estate. Around in circles. All right, from that expression, I'm led to believe that I'm being an idiot. When I get sore, I will go ride with Sabario.
Before you get sore. We'll give it an hour.
As annoyed as she was at this turn, she couldn't deny his expertise. Yasna had once defined a fool as a person who ignored information because it disagreed with desired results. She determined to not be bothered and instead enjoy the ride. The army as a whole moved slowly, considering that each piece seemed to be so efficient. Spearmen in blocks, scribes on horseback, scouts roving outward. Dalinar had 6 of the massive mechanical bridges, but he had also brought all of the former bridgemen and their simpler, man-carried bridges, designed as copies of the ones they'd left in Sadius's camp. This was good, since Sabariel only had a couple of bridge crews. She allowed herself a moment of personal satisfaction at the fact that he'd come on the expedition. As she was thinking on that, she She noticed someone running up the line of troops behind her, a short man with an eye patch who drew glares from Adolin's bridgeman guards for the day.
Gaz?
He hustled up, carrying a package under his arm. Her fears that he'd been knifed in an alley somewhere were unfounded.
Sorry, it came. You owe the merchant 2 sapphire bromes, Brightness. Here.
It?
Shallan accepted the package.
Yeah. You asked me to find one for you. As Storming did.
She unwrapped the cloth around the rectangular object and found inside a book.
Words of Radiance.
The sides were worn and the pages faded. One patch across the top was even stained from spilled ink sometime in the past. Rarely had she been as pleased to receive something so damaged.
Gas, you're wonderful.
He grinned, shooting Vatha a triumphant smile. The taller man rolled his eyes.
Thank you. Thank you truly, Gaz.
As the time passed and one day led into another, Shallan found the distraction of the book extremely welcome. The armies moved about as fast as a herd of sleepy chulls, and the scenery was actually quite boring, though she'd never admit that to Kaladin or Adolin, considering what she'd told them last time she was out there. The book, though, the book was wonderful. And frustrating.
But what is the wicked thing of eminence that led to the recreants?
It was the second day of their travels on the plains, and she had agreed to ride in the coach Adolin had provided, alone. Though it baffled Adolin why she wouldn't want her lady's maid with her. Shallan did not want to explain pattern to the girl. The book had a chapter for each order of knights radiant, with talk of their traditions, their abilities, and their attitudes. The author admitted that a lot of it was hearsay. The book had been written 200 years after the recreants, and by then, facts, lore, and superstition had mixed freely. Beyond that, it was in an old dialect of Alethi, using the proto-script, a precursor to the true women's script of modern day. She spent a lot of her time sorting out meanings, occasionally calling over some of Navani's scholars to provide definitions or interpretation. Still, she had learned a great deal. For example, each order had different ideals or standards to determine advancement. Some were specific, others left to the interpretation of the Spren. Also, some orders were individualistic, while others, like the Windrunners, functioned in teams with a specific hierarchy. She settled back, thinking about the powers described.
Will the others be appearing then, as Yasna and I did? Men who can glide elegantly across the ground as if they weigh nothing. Women who can melt stone with a touch.
Pattern had offered some few insights, but mostly he had been of use telling her what sounded likely to have been real, and what, from the book, was a mistake based on hearsay. His memory was spotty, but growing much better, and hearing what the book said often made him remember more. Right now, he was on the seat beside her. The carriage hit a bump. It was rough out here, but at least in the coach, she could read and reference other books at the same time. That would have been practically impossible while riding. The coach did make her feel shut away, though.
Not everyone who tries to take care of you is trying to do what your father did.
Adolin's warned of soreness had never manifested, of course. Originally, she'd felt a small amount of pain in her thighs from holding herself in place in the saddle, but Stormlight had made it vanish. Pattern climbed onto the door of the carriage.
It comes.
Shallan looked out the window and felt a drop of water sprinkle against her face. Rock darkened as rain coated it. Soon the air filled with a steady drizzle, light and pleasant. Though colder, it reminded her of some of the rainfalls back in Yakaved. Here in the Stormlands, it seemed that rain was rarely this soft. She pulled down the shades and scooted to the center of the seat so she wouldn't get rained on. A quote sparked her interest, and so she dug out her sketch of the Shattered Plains and her old maps of Stormseat.
I need to find out how these maps relate. Multiple points of reference, preferably.
If she could identify 2 places on the Shattered Plains that matched points on her map of Stormseat, she could judge how large Stormseat had been. The old map had no scale. And then overlay it on the map of the Shattered Plains. That would give them some context. What really drew her attention was the Oath Gate. On the map of Stormseat, Yasna thought it was represented by a round disc, like a dais, on the southwestern side of the city.
Is there a doorway there on that dais somewhere? A magical portal to Urethiru? How did one of the knights operate it?
Shallan's carriage started to slow. She frowned, scooting to the door, meaning to peek out the window. The door opened to reveal High Lady Navani standing outside, Dalinar himself holding up an umbrella for her.
Would you mind company?
Not at all, Brightness.
Shallan scrambled to pick up her papers and books, which she'd spread about on all of the seats. Navani patted Dalinar fondly on the arm, then climbed into the coach, using a towel to dry her feet and legs. She sat once Dalinar shut the door. Shallan fidgeted with her papers.
What is my relationship with Navani? She's Adolin's aunt, but she's romantically involved with his father. So she is kind of my future mother-in-law, though by Voran tradition, Dalinar will never be allowed to marry her.
Shallan had tried for weeks to get this woman to listen to her, and had failed. Now, she seemed to have been forgiven for bearing the news of Yasna's death.
Does that mean Navani likes me?
So did Dalinar exile you to the coach to protect you from getting sore, as Adolin did to me?
Sore? Heavens no. If anyone should be riding in the coach, it's Dalinar. When there's fighting to be done, we'll need him rested and ready. I came because it's rather difficult to read while riding in the rain.
Oh.
Navani studied her.
I've been ignoring things that I should not, because they bring me pain.
I am sorry.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Navani held out her hand toward Shallan.
May I?
Shallan looked at her handful of notes, diagrams, and maps. She hesitated.
You are engaged in work you obviously think very important. This city Yasna was searching for, according to the notes you sent me. Perhaps I can help you interpret my daughter's intentions.
Storms. Is there anything in these pages that can incriminate me and reveal my powers? My activities as Vale? No. No, I don't think so. I'm studying the Knights Radiant as part of it, but I'm searching for their center of power. So that makes sense.
Hesitant, she handed over the papers. Navani leafed through them, reading by spearlight.
The organization of these notes is interesting.
Shallan blushed.
The organization makes sense to me.
As Navani continued to look through the notes, Shallan found herself growing oddly anxious. She'd wanted Navani's help. She'd all but begged for it. Now, however, she found herself feeling like this woman was intruding. This had become Shallan's project, her duty and her quest. Now that Navani had apparently overcome her grief, would she insist on taking over completely?
You think like an artist. I can see it in the way you put the notes together. Well, I suppose I can't expect everything you do to be annotated precisely as I'd wish. A magical portal to another city? Yasna actually believed in this?
Yes.
Then it's probably true. That girl never did have the decency to be wrong an appropriate amount of the time.
Shallan nodded, glancing at the notes, feeling anxious.
Oh, don't get so touchy. I'm not going to steal the project from you.
I'm that transparent?
This research is obviously very important to you. I assume Yasna persuaded you that the fate of the world itself rested upon the answers you find.
She did.
I shouldn't have ignored you. It was petty.
It was the act of a grieving mother.
Scholars don't have time for such nonsense.
You're still human. We can't all be emotionless chunks of rock like Yasna.
She sometimes had the empathy of a corpse, didn't she?
Comes from being too brilliant. You grow accustomed to everyone else being something of an idiot trying to keep up with you.
Janna knows I wondered sometimes how I raised that child without strangling her. By age 6, she was pointing out my logical fallacies as I tried to get her to go to bed on time.
I always just assumed she was born in her 30s.
Oh, she was. It just took 30-some years for her body to catch up. I won't take this from you, but neither should I allow you to attempt a project so important on your own. I would be part. figuring out the puzzles that captivated her. It'll be like having her again. My little Yasna. Insufferable and wonderful.
How surreal it was to imagine Yasna as a child being held by a mother.
It would be an honor to have your aid, Brightness Navani.
You're trying to overlay Stormseat with the Shattered Plains. It's not going to work unless you have a point of reference.
Preferably two.
It's been centuries since that city fell. It was destroyed during Ahara Etium itself, I believe. We're going to have trouble finding clues out here. Though your list of descriptions will help. This isn't my area of expertise, but I have several archaeologists among Dalinar's scribes. I should show them these pages.
Shallan nodded.
We'll want copies of everything here. I don't want to lose originals to all this rain. I could have the scribes work on it tonight after we camp.
If you wish.
It's your decision.
You're serious?
Absolutely. Think of me as an additional resource.
All right, then. Yes, have them make copies.
Shallan dug in her satchel.
And copies of this, too. It's my attempt at recreating one of the murals described as being on the outer wall of the temple to Chinarinach in Stormseat. It faced leeward and was supposedly shaded, so we might be able to find hints of it. Also, I need a surveyor to measure each new plateau we cross once we get farther in. I can draw them out, but my spatial reasoning can be off. I want exact sizes to make the map more accurate. I'll need guards and scribes to ride out with me ahead of the army to visit plateaus parallel to our course. It would really help if you could convince Dalinar to allow this. I'd like a team to study the quotes on that page underneath the map. They talk about methods of opening the Oath Gate, which was supposed to be the duty of the Knights Radiant. Hopefully, we can discover another method. Also, alert Dalinar that we'll be trying to open the portal if we find it. I do not expect there to be anything dangerous on the other side, but he'll undoubtedly want to send soldiers through first.
You've done a touch of thinking about this, I see.
Shallan nodded, blushing.
I'll see it done. I myself will head the research team studying those quotes you mentioned. Do you know why Yasna thought this city, Yorathiru, was so important?
Because it was the seat of the Knights Radiant, and she expected to find information on them and the Voidbringers there.
So she was like Dalinar, trying to bring back powers that perhaps we should leave alone.
Shallan felt a sudden spike of anxiety.
I need to say it. Say something. She wasn't trying. She succeeded.
Succeeded.
I don't know what she said regarding the origin of her soul caster, but the truth was that it was a fake. Yasna could soul cast on her own, without any Fabriel. I saw her do it. She knew secrets from the past, secrets I don't think anyone else knows. Brightness Navani, your daughter was one of the Knights Radiant, or as close to one as the world is going to have again.
Navani raised an eyebrow, obviously skeptical.
I swear this is true. On the 10th name of the Almighty.
That is disturbing. Radiance, heralds, and Voidbringers alike are supposed to be gone. We won that war.
I know.
I will go get to work on this.
The weeping began, a steady stream of rain. Kaladin could hear it inside his room like a whisper in the background. Weak, miserable rain, without the fury and passion of a true high storm. He lay in the darkness, feeling his leg throb. Wet, cold air leaked into his room, and he dug for the extra blankets that the quartermaster had delivered. He curled up and tried to sleep. But after sleeping most of the day yesterday, the day that Dalinar's army had left, he found himself wide awake. He hated being wounded. Bed rest wasn't supposed to happen to him. Not anymore.
Syl.
The weeping was a bad time for him. Days spent trapped indoors, a perpetual gloom in the sky that seemed to affect him more than it did others, leaving him lethargic and uncaring. Kaladin raised his head in the darkness, then sat up and settled himself on his bench of a bed.
Come.
Moash stepped in. He wore his shard plate, as always.
Storms, Cal, were you asleep? I'm sorry.
No, I was awake.
In the darkness?
Kaladin shrugged. Moash took off his gauntlet and hung it from a clip at the waist of his shard plate. He reached beneath a fold in the metal and pulled out a handful of spheres to light his way. Riches that would have seemed incredible to bridgemen were now pocket change to Moash.
Aren't you supposed to be guarding the king?
On and off. They quartered the five of us guards up by his rooms. In the palace itself, Kaladin. It's perfect.
When?
We don't want to ruin Dalinar's expedition, so we're going to wait until he's out there some distance, maybe till he's engaged the enemy. That way, he'll be committed and won't turn back when he gets news. Better for Alethkar if he succeeds at defeating the Parshendi. He will return a hero and a king.
Kaladin nodded, feeling sick.
We have everything planned out. We'll raise an alert in the palace that the assassin in white has been seen. Then we'll do what was done last time. Send all of the servants into hiding in their rooms. Nobody will be around to see what we do, nobody will get hurt, and they'll all believe that the Shin assassin was behind this. We couldn't have asked for this to play out better. And you won't have to do anything, Cal. Graves said that we won't need your help after all.
So why are you here?
I just wanted to check in on you. Is it true what Lopin says? About your abilities?
Storming here, Dazian.
Lopin had stayed behind, with David and Haber to take care of the barrack and watch over Kaladin. They'd been talking to Moash, it seemed.
Yes.
What happened?
I'm not sure. I offended Syl. I haven't seen her in days. Without her, I can't draw in Stormlight.
We'll have to fix that somehow. Either that, or get you plate and blade of your own.
I think she left because of the plot to kill the king, Moash. I don't think a Radiant could be involved in something like this.
Shouldn't a Radiant care about doing what is right? Even if it means a difficult decision?
Sometimes lives must be spent for the greater good.
Yes, exactly.
That's what Amaram said. In regards to my friends, whom he murdered to cover up his secrets.
Well, that's different, obviously. He's a light eyes.
Kaladin looked to Moash, whose eyes had turned as light a tan as those of any bright lord. Same color as Amaram's, actually.
So are you.
Cal, you're worrying me. Don't say things like that.
Kaladin looked away.
The king wanted me to deliver a message. That's my excuse for being here. He wants you to come talk to him.
What? Why?
I don't know. He's been dipping into the wine now that Dalinar is gone. Not the orange stuff, either. I'll tell him you're too wounded to come.
Kaladin nodded.
Cal, we can trust you, right? You're not having second thoughts?
You said it yourself. I don't have to do anything. I just have to stay away. What can I do anyway? Wounded, with no spren?
Everything was in motion. It was too far along for him to stop.
Great. You heal up, all right?
Moash walked out, leaving Kaladin in the darkness again.